Well, now that we've got that earworm in your head, we want to talk about women and motorcycling, because women are the country's fastest growing group of motorcycle riders. And that's according to Motorcycle Industry Council. I'm Joan LeJoe, and this is the Larry Mueller Show. We're talking about motorcycles and a group of women who enjoy riding together. Our guests are Kate Harms and Bridget Whitwer, and they are co-founders of the Madison Litas, which is a motorcycle collective. And if you love riding your motorcycle, we'd like to hear from you. Why do you love to ride? And maybe you're interested in learning, but you're not quite sure if you're ready. These ladies can help you out. Have you found a supportive community on the road? We'd want to talk to you. 1-800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. Kate, Bridget, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for the invite.
Thank you.
You bet. So first, Kate, why don't we start with you? Tell us more about the Madison Litas. Who are you? What's your mission?
Absolutely. So the Litas is a women's motorcycle collective. It was started in 2015 in southern Utah with a few women in the Utah area who learned to love riding and learned to love the camaraderie and support that they got from a women's motorcycle group. So they expanded the Litas internationally. There's chapters all over America, all over the world, actually. So Bridget and I are here representing the local Madison chapter. And the Litas mission is really to inspire and empower women through community and our shared love of motorcycles and the road.
Okay. And how, are there other chapters besides yours in Wisconsin?
Yep, there are four chapters currently in Wisconsin. We've got Milwaukee, Waukesha, and the Fox Valley area.
Okay, so someone up in Eau Claire wants to start one in that area, there's an opening, right?
Absolutely.
How many members do you have in the Madison Litas?
A good question. I think we're up to between 80 and 90 members right now.
Wow, that's a lot. That's more than I thought I was going to hear from you. Has that increased a lot in just the last year or two, or how long has it taken?
Yeah, our chapter has only been around for a couple years now. So in the past two, we've really grown a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And while we have a lot of members, you know, who like to participate with us, you know, via social media and a little engagement in the chat, I'd say for the average riding event, we have about 10 to 12 that show
okay.
up. So we're still a pretty modest group for
sure, rides. Sure. Now, Bridget, you and Kate are two of the co-founders of the Madison chapter. Why did you see the need for an inclusive motorcycle group in the area?
Yeah, so we came together in 2021, and there was Christine and Kayla and Stevie originally as well. And there is another group, as Kate had mentioned, in Milwaukee. So I had known about the Milwaukee girls. There's several events that they help out with, Flat Out Friday, the Mama Tried Show. So I met them, I hung out with them when I was in Milwaukee, but all of these events that they would have, their rides or social meetups, all took place around the Milwaukee area. I myself am from Greene County, so getting over to Milwaukee just wasn't feasible 99% of the time. So I was riding around Milwaukee on my way back, actually, and I met a couple other girls, and I was like, oh, hey, where are you guys headed? And they were headed back to Madison. And I said, oh, my gosh, there's other women in Madison who ride. And that's how we kind of just started that conversation. And then in a couple other of our random meetups, we're like, we should just start a Madison chapter. And it was relatively easy to start our own chapter in Madison. So that's kind of what we did. And we've just been growing and kind of snowballing from there.
Okay. How is the collective different from a traditional motorcycle club?
I love this question. I think a bunch of people, men and women, are a little intimidated about trying to join a motorcycle club. You kind of have this, maybe not so much a negative, but an intimidating thing of you have to have a certain bike, you have to have a certain image, you have to, you know, be able to ride at this expertise level, where the collective is so much different than that. It's so much, I would say, more open-ended. You can be on any bike, you can be on any riding level, you can have any riding image, You know, we have some girls who are riding in full leathers. I have this big pink fuzzy coat that I love to bring around. So it's so different, but it's, we're all there for the same reason. We're all on two wheels and we're all just having fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's no shaming. There's no, you can't keep up with us. There's none of that.
Mm-hmm. How did you each get into riding yourselves? Kate, why don't we start with you?
Sure. I started riding as a passenger with my husband, who had a bike for a long time. So I started off in the back seat, and I thought on a whim, I'll just take the rider's safety course, see if I like it. If that's cool, it's cool. If I hate it, that'll be the end of it. So I took the rider's safety course. It was a wonderful experience. I learned to love being on the front seat, and I learned I didn't have to look at the back of my husband's head on a ride anymore. And it's so empowering, and I loved the freedom of it. So just by simply on a whim taking that course, that's how I got into it. So I've been riding a bit over, I think, 11 years now.
Oh, what about you, Bridget?
So I first started when I was a kid on a little PW50, so a little dirt bike. And I kind of graduated up into a couple bigger bikes. And then I got married, started having kids, and hauling a bike to the motorcycle track just wasn't, again, feasible just because of time constraints. So I got a little bike out of a barn and was able to fix it up. I call it my electrical tape and dream bike. And I was able to just kind of putz around on a Saturday afternoon where I had an hour free with no kids. I could just go get my quick little speed fix. And I've since graduated up to bigger bikes, but I've kind of always been on two wheels in some capacity.
Sure. I had a mini bike as a kid, too, so I appreciate that. And you're right. It was so freeing, and it was just so fun to go fast. Is that what you love about motorcycle riding?
Go ahead, Kate. You go.
Sure. Yeah, for me, it's a bit of the freedom. It's being disconnected from everything else. You know, unlike being in a car, you have to be focused on the road. And being on a motorcycle is such a full sensory experience. I just got back from a really cool trip in the Smoky Mountains down in North Carolina. And it was so fun to ride in and out of the hills. And you realize the temperature changes, you know, every 20 seconds. And you're so in tune to even like the texture of the road. You feel it all over.
Mm-hmm.
It's far different than a road trip in a car.
For sure. You can't eat snacks. What about you, Bridget? What do you love most about it?
I think the two things, piggybacking off of what Kate said of, you are disconnected. You know, when I put on my helmet, it's a great little like time for me to really think about my day, think about my plans, process through some things that I just have rattling around in my brain. Sometimes I'll play music, but sometimes I'll just ride in silence. You know, and if my phone buzzes, I can't answer it. So I'm totally disconnected in my own zone. And then there also is, like Kate said, you can feel more. You can feel the texture of the road. You can feel the temperature changes. I think my dad probably heard this from a fortune cookie or somewhere else, but he had said that when you're in the car, it's like you're watching a movie through your windshield, but when you're on a bike, you're starring in that movie.
Wow, I love that. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that a lot of women are not very tall, not necessarily strong. I mean, obviously, this isn't everyone, but that tends to be the case. And so motorcycles are a little intimidating in that they're usually for taller people and stronger people. What do you say to people who say that to you? Go ahead, Kate.
Yep, I am that 5'3", short-legged gal who felt that way, too. So I will say it is a bit more effort to sit on bikes, try out what works for you. I've been lucky enough to be connected with a bunch of really good mechanics who are fabulous at finding a new seat for me, finding handlebars that are a good reach for me. So it sometimes takes a little bit of effort to find the right bike that fits for you, but they certainly exist. Don't give up.
Okay. Bridget?
Yeah, I think it's funny. Of the current co-founders for the Madison Litas, Kate and I are definitely the shortest. I'm also about 5'3".
Okay.
And for me, having been on a large, taller dirt bike, I'm not too scared about being on my tippy toes or only being able to touch with one foot. But my initial fear, and still in the back of my brain, is if this bike tips over, how am I going to be able to get it back up?
Right.
Especially if I'm not in a group, if I'm by myself, if I'm at a stop sign and people behind me are waiting. But it's really about the bike, I think. There's several bikes that you can get. The bike I'm currently on is a 650, and I've tipped that over a couple times. And it didn't look pretty, but I was able to get it up myself. So I think having that confidence, knowing if this bike does tip over, I know I can get it up myself, is a huge game changer. So I would say, like Kate said, there are bikes out there. You just gotta kind of sit on them and test them out.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So I understand that you welcome members who are beginners or even don't even have their own bike. So what advice do you have for someone who's looking to get into motorcycle riding? Go ahead, Bridget.
That one too.
Well, whomever. Okay. That's fine.
Kate, if you're ready, go ahead.
Sure. We call these folks the moto curious.
Okay.
If you are moto curious, I would say a wonderful first step is just taking the rider safety course. They offer them in a lot of different locations, and I know that was my intro experience, and it was fabulous. They certainly cater to all ability levels. I had zero motorcycle experience when I walked in. I didn't even know how to drive a manual transmission. They're really good at starting at all levels. And through that rider experience, you know, you go through all the basics, of course, and you come out with just that small amount of confidence it takes to start. So I would suggest that. And for the women out there, the women moto curious, join up with the Alitas or, you know, connect with a fellow female riders in your area. It's really helpful to build that confidence and connect with a community that is similar to you.
Okay. Anything to add?
So, Kate, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe at a bunch of these different classes, they have different style bikes, too. Is that right?
Yep, exactly. So they have some Harleys, they have some sport bikes, they have some dirt bikes. There's a variety for what your flavor is.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
I think for someone who doesn't know their flavor, that's just a great place to start.
Okay.
And you don't need a bike. You don't need your own bike. They'll supply that for you.
And where do you find that? Where do you go to get those classes?
Harley is a really good place to offer that. They have a lot of Harley dealerships offer that. Or if you just simply Google motorcycle safety
in
your area, a mm-hmm. whole lot of areas will pop up. For example, I did mine through MATC.
Great. We're talking with Kate Harms and Bridget Whitwer. They are co-founders of the Madison Lita's Motorcycle Collective. Do you have a question about their group? A question about riding a motorcycle? We'd love to hear from you. Number is 800-642-1234. Or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. Hope you can join us again tomorrow on Garden Talk. Diana Allfuth is back, and she'll talk about what to do with those diseased plants and leaves and branches that we take out of our garden, how to dispose of those. And we'll also talk a little bit about how to create a rock garden. But right now, we are talking about Madison Women's Motorcycle Collective. It's called the Madison Litas. And we're just talking about beginners and where you can go. But let's talk a little bit about equipment. What's the best thing? And what do you really need as a beginner? Bridget, go ahead and take that.
Yeah, this is a great question. I actually hit a deer 2 years ago on my bike, but I was fully geared up, which I believe is the only reason that I'm still here today because of my helmet. But I would say that you don't have to have the top of the line fancy matching everything. So when I went down after I hit my deer, I had a helmet, gloves, motorcycle jacket, and some boots. And I was just in jeans. I got a little bit of road rash because my jeans were cut up. But you don't need to necessarily have, you know, the $600 jacket. I think the jacket I had was $100 from Amazon. And my gloves were $25. I think I got them at, like, the bargain bike barn in Edgerton. So you don't have to have top of the line expensive gear, but you do need to be protected.
Mm-hmm. And as far as helmets go, Kate, are there some that you really want to avoid?
Yeah, the answer is yes. You want to make sure you have a helmet that is rated, DOT-rated helmet. I think you can get some silly cute ones that cover kind of the top of your noggin, but you really want to make sure you have a full covered, either a three-quarter or a full-face helmet with that DOT rating.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that you would add to what Bridget was saying?
No, agreed what she said.
Okay.
Solid boots that'll stay on your feet and some good gloves that'll cover your hands.
Sure. You must kind of cringe when you see people running around. I mean, I've seen especially women, you know, with cutoff shorts and very skimpy tops and flip-flops. I mean, how dangerous is that?
The flip-flops are crazy to me. It's really hard to shift with a flip-flop, I imagine.
Right. I would think so, too. Well, these are generally riders, but still, it doesn't take much for you to really hurt yourself, even if you're going slow, right?
Yeah, I think road rash, and aside from like the impact of hitting the ground, road rash can happen, you know, if you're just in a parking lot and you tip over, your elbow could get across, you know, the cement, which hurts.
Yes, it does, and it doesn't look pretty. We had a listener call, she couldn't stay with us, but they're wondering how the Letas are different from the stilettos on steel. Kate, you want to take that?
Sure. I'm actually not sure if I have a great answer for that. I think the mission of both groups is probably super similar. I can only speak to the Letas in that we are a no membership dues requirement. You don't have to pay a fee. You show up for as many or as few events as you want, and we're kind of a laid-back, come-and-go-as-you-please group.
Okay. Bridget, are you familiar with stilettos on steel?
I believe when I was looking for girls' motorcycle groups, I didn't see stilettos on steel in the area. So I think that's why we leaned towards the Letas originally, just because they have a very active chapter in Milwaukee.
Okay.
But I don't know enough to say exactly how they're different, other than maybe how active they are in this area specifically.
Okay. Well, if there's anybody out there who's a member of the Stilettos on Steel, give us a call, 800-642-1234, and we'll get your side of this. We do have a call, Tim in Hollandale. Go ahead, Tim.
Hi. I used to ride motorcycles back in the 80s and 90s. I used to be in a motorcycle club. Still ride, but not in a club. But if you have kids and you want to teach them how to ride, starting them out on a dirt bike is probably the best way to teach a youngster when they get on the road, because they'll cross any hazard on riding a dirt bike that you come across on the road, potholes, slick areas. So that'll give you you'll be a better rider if you ride a dirt bike first. And then the other thing I was going to say is bike size. When I used to ride in a club and when we used to build bikes, everybody wanted the biggest, baddest bike they could find, and a lot of people couldn't handle the bike. They were either too small for the bike was too big for them, or too much power. If you can't back up your bike or lift your bike, that's not the bike for you.
Mm-hmm.
That bike falls on you in the road, you become, you know, you'll get yourself killed. So that's kind of what I wanted to say, I guess.
Great. Thank you, Tim. We appreciate that. Ladies, anything to add to that?
Agree with everything he said.
Okay. You know, safety obviously is important when we're operating any vehicles. But when you're on your motorcycle, how do you drive differently from when you're actually in your car? Go ahead, Bridget.
Yeah, so I think I definitely am way more proactive about things. As far as like when I'm coming up to an intersection or roundabouts, especially, I am hawkeyeing whatever vehicle is on the left. And I'm usually staring at their front tire because I can tell based on what that rim is doing, if it's inching forward or if it's completely stopped. And I'm definitely keeping an eye on that. And then I'm gauging what I'm doing. You know, do I speed up to make sure I am officially way ahead of this car before it gets into the roundabout, or do I slow way down so if they don't see me, I have enough time to come to a complete stop? So I think in a car, I'm a little bit different because I feel like I have not necessarily more of a right on the road, but I know that I'm more easily seen. versus on a motorcycle, I always assume that somebody's not seeing me.
Oh, that's a way a good that's a good way to put it. Assuming that you're not seen, I like that. Kate, what happens if you're in the, you know, the weather? You're really exposed in the wind and the rain. And I mean, I don't know if you go out in the wintertime, but there could also be snow. So, how do you adjust how you drive with those situations?
Sure. I think the two strategies, there's either avoid, have really good radar on your phone and, you know, avoid your route when rain is coming in, if possible, or you just need to be really prepared for it. And by prepared, I mean have the right gear. You probably need a windshield on your bike. You need to have a full face helmet. Rain gear is helpful. And make sure that you're wearing something that's reflective so other people can see you during darker weather. Avoid or gear up.
Right, right. You know, I've heard, and I'm sure most people have heard the phrase, share the road. From your perspective, what does that mean, Bridget?
I think it's kind of just like with bicycles, you're supposed to move over and give them a little more space when they're riding on the side of the road. From a motorcycle perspective, I ask for the same kind of thing of, please don't be right behind me. You know, don't try to like merge thinking, oh, I can totally fit in there. It would be like, share the road. Give me my little bubble, please, is my take on it.
Mm-hmm. Kate, how much room are we talking about here?
I think with motorcycles, right, drivers should really anticipate giving even more room than you would to a four-wheeled vehicle in front of you. A few reasons for that. You know, if I'm on a motorcycle approaching a curve and I suddenly see that there's gravel in the road, I'm going to significantly slow down and take that curve a little slower than probably a four-wheeled vehicle from would be. So I think drivers behind a motorcycle should be aware of that extra space, you know, to accommodate for some of those road variability. And also just from a visibility perspective too, there's a car, you know, riding really, really close behind me. Other traffic around me is probably not going to see me as easily. Mm-hmm. So it helps with visibility to give extra space.
Now I've noticed just in the last year, a couple of times I've had motorcyclists go between me and the lane, you know, like two lane road, go in between when traffic is slow. Is this a new rule or are these people doing something illegal? Kate?
In Wisconsin, that's illegal.
Okay.
It really varies from state to state. A few places like California, for example, we call that lane splitting, and that is legal. In the state of Wisconsin, it is not.
Okay, so they could get a ticket for doing something like that.
Yep.
Okay. We did get a call from Jason in Platteville. He couldn't stay with us, but he says the Stilettos on Steel Southwest Wisconsin chapter is really great and really active. So, not a whole lot of information, but obviously he likes it. Let's talk about men. I'm assuming you don't have any men in your group, but are they welcome? You are inclusive? Bridget?
Sure. So we have a couple of rides a month, and we'll designate when we have a ride or a meetup, we'll say if this is specifically for members only or if it's for members and their guests. We do have a couple guys who do ride with us occasionally, and we always love it when they come along. There are, for a variety of reasons, some rides where we just like to have just us girls. Mm-hmm. So it kind of goes both. So we don't have any men who are official Lido's members, but we do have some who are our good friends.
Okay. So to be a member, you just sign up, I'm assuming? Kate?
Yeah, so yes, through the... Oops, sorry. Go ahead, Kate.
Sorry.
Yeah, there's a few ways to join. The first one is we have an app for that, actually. If you download the Collective by the Lidas, it's an app that helps you search all of the active Lidas chapters around the world. You can drill down into Wisconsin and join a specific Wisconsin chapter through that app.
Okay.
Or,
go ahead.
Yep, or our Madison chapter is also really active on the GroupMe app. So if you have GroupMe, you can search out the Madison Lidas and ask to join us through that group. And that's often where we'll post most of our event information.
Okay, and so how many events do you have, and are they just rides? Bridget?
So we typically have at least one ride a month, and then we try to do at least one meetup a month. Granted, during the winter, we don't have rides, but we do have, like, dinners. We had a Galentine's in February. That was a lot of fun. And then I know coming up here in July, it's already the middle of July, but we still have two rides coming up. So during the summer, we have more rides, and then in the winter, we have at least some kind of meetup. Usually okay. Not on a bike, though.
So. Great. And do you have a website, or where can people get more info?
So the Collective app and then the group meet. We also are active on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
You can shoot us a message through either of those socials, and someone will grab it and get back to you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both, Kate Harms and Bridget Whitwer. We really appreciate you being with us and telling us about your group. Thank you so much.
Yeah, for having us.
Thank
Great
you.
Chatting with you. Thanks.
You bet. Thank you for joining us today. This and all our other shows, of course, are a team effort. We want to thank our producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Petnod, technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, our regular host, of course, Larry Mueller. I'm executive director Jill Nadeau, and I want to thank Trina LaSouza for filling in as our technical director today. Hope you can join us again tomorrow. Stay well.